Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, this is going to be a jam-packed broadcast today. It is the 18th day of July, 2011, on this Monday edition. Obviously, gold has surged past $1,600 an ounce in the middle of its historically dead period, the summer. There is all this diversionary talk about the debt ceiling, and I continue to get calls and emails saying, why aren't you talking more about it? Because as Ron Paul said a month ago, it is all rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. We have signed on to the $1.5 quadrillion that we have been induced to sign on to by our terrorist politicians, financial terrorist politicians. And you could give the bankers all the wealth in the world. It wouldn't pay off a fraction. I mean, do you remember even what the Chinese talked about months ago? They said the United States has already technically defaulted on its debt. And that's what's happened with the QE1, QE2, now QE3. So we're going to be discussing that today. We're going to go over the economy. I told you Rick Perry was going to run for president. And his whole pledge that he wouldn't run was a pledge he always meant and intended to break. We're going to be going over that news as well. I haven't talked a lot about this. I've talked about it some, and yes, I will discuss it coming up. The fellow that heads up Bilderberg, major website, Bilderberg.org, Tony Gosling, great reporter. He's been following this closely from London. He'll be joining us in 30 minutes. The entire News Corps crises with two police chiefs, the police commissioner and the head of Scotland Yard, having to resign the last 24 hours, the head of the News Corps in England, in the UK, arrested, as you know, over hacking people's phones to get news stories. And I think that's wrong, and they should get in trouble for it. But meanwhile, I've been following this for the last week, thinking the police would do something. Millionaire's six-year-old son dies after a mysterious accident at mansion where his father's lover was found hanging naked with her arms and legs bound. And the police are saying this is just like Pulitzer Prize winner Gary Webb's death, shot twice in the back of the head with a shotgun. They said that was quite normal for you to shoot yourself twice in the head, back of the head with a shotgun. Kind of like Fahmy Malik, the Arkansas medical examiner, would rule that people that were chopped up and burned had done it to themselves. That's right, chop your arms and legs off. So this is what I said with Dominique Strauss-Kahn. I don't like him. He's a globalist. I hate their policies, but the fact that he would get busted for reported rape, that is suspicious. Then we learned Sarkozy had spies on him, announced he'd been arrested before he even been arrested, before it was even in the news, via their Twitter, his Karl Rove, his political hatchet guy did. And now we learn the whole thing was a fraud. So I'm just telling you, with this Rupert Murdoch deal, they are announcing emergency parliament session. We've got good intel that they are currently planning to launch a war in Iran in September. Bob Baer, the former top CIA officer in the Middle East, is saying that it's green-lighted, but that it could still be called off. Debka Files reporting that. We got a big report. We got that from Inside Bilderberg as well this year. Meanwhile, they're getting ready to launch all these new wars. They're getting ready to ground invade Libya. So Gaddafi finally got the word and is finally actually saying, yes, I may step down if I'm given a deal and allowed to leave. So I hope something's brokered with Iran. The word is their government may remove Ahmadinejad in the next month to avert this attack. The point is, we got bigger issues going on here than DSK and Rupert Murdoch and his reported dirty activities. But nevertheless, I will cover that. The economy, Rick Perry, five dead in attack on Chinese police station, riots going on all over China. The globalists sell us China as this wonderful panacea. Truth is, it's teetering on the verge of collapse. The entire world is.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up later in the third hour of the broadcast, we're going to perhaps show the video. It's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com of a teen in San Francisco who didn't pay a $2 bus fare. And so the police shoot him, and he convulses and coughs up his lifeblood as the cops stand around him with guns. And it looks like that the San Francisco Police Department saying this is a good thing to do. Meanwhile, the foreign banks that rule this country have stolen at least $27 trillion of U.S. taxpayer money. And when we give them the money, we then have to pay interest on the money we give them and have our taxes raised for austerity and have basic services cut off and have the dollar devalued, which annihilates people on fixed income, Social Security, you name it. Nothing's going to happen to the bankers, at least at this juncture, because the public has been so conditioned. But I think we will show the video. Folks are listening going, I'm listening to you on the AM or FM dial. We simulcast all the show in live living color at PrisonPlanet.tv. But I will warn people when we play the video. But there he is, gunned down, unarmed, and then coughing up his lifeblood. Of course, a year and a half ago, you saw the footage in the San Francisco Bay Area of the youth pulled off the train because 30 minutes earlier a fight had been reported. Turned out it wasn't the right young people. And they're all sitting there on the ground, and they get him up, put him in handcuffs. He doesn't resist, and the officer shoots him in the back, pulls the gun out and shoots him in the back. It looked extremely deliberate. And then the police lied and said he'd fought them and attacked them. They thought they'd confiscated all the cell phone cameras, but somebody about 30 yards away in another train was able to shoot the whole incident that was stopped. And the police tried to defend it at first, so there was riots. Then they gave the guy a couple years in jail, and he served less than a year, the police officer that engaged in the execution. This is the essence of living in a third world tyranny, where the police are basically violent video game fans or steroid admirers and are looking for a trophy. They're like deer hunters. And we've seen the quotes by police in the news more and more of, I love to hunt. I love to hunt humans. It's so much fun. I want to get some. So they go to the wrong house. It's a veteran. The wife says, honey, there's people around the windows. He gets his rifle, and they bust in and gun him down. And as he's flopping around dying, they go ahead and run up and shoot him a few more times and start squealing with delight because they're getting some. They're playing the video game, and it's so much fun. They go to the insurance salesman's house because the crackhead informant wants to get some money and fingers the wrong house. So the police raid the house looking for drugs openly shipped in by the U.S. government and big banks. And they go in the house, and the 67-year-old retired insurance salesman in a million-dollar house gets up out of his bed with a handgun. They kill him, and the police say, hey, it's good. This is America. This is what our country has turned into. And I was going to cover a bunch of other news, but watching that video right before the show was so horrific. Again, it's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com if you want to watch the real world, not some simulated death that we've been conditioned to with all the violence on television, but the real deal. It is up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Now, here's what's coming up today. We have Tony Gosling of Bilderberg.org, great reporter from England, joining us to break down the whole News Corp scandal now spreading to the United States with criminal investigations and Australia, not just the epicenter, the UK. UK Prime Minister calls for emergency session of Parliament over all this because, of course, he's knee-deep in with the Murkadoids, the Murdochoids. And we've got a headline, Scandal Grows at News Corp. The head of News Corp in England arrested. Scotland Yard head steps down reportedly in a bribery investigation. The head of the Metropolitan Police Commission, that's big, steps down. This is spreading. So there's some coup, counter-coup going on. Let me give you a news flash. This comes out in Hollywood all the time. In fact, it came out in a murder trial just a few years ago with one of L.A.'s biggest detectives, private detectives involved with the police and others, wiretapping folks. This is how business is done. You know, you look at the Fortune 500 or even the Fortune 100. What is it? Of the 100 biggest economies in the world, last time I checked, we can look it up, 54 of the 100 biggest economies are not countries. They're corporations. Walmart is bigger than most major countries. Of course, they have their own mercs. They have their own spies. They have their own operatives. And my issue here is, why'd they go after Dominique Strauss-Kahn when if you're a globalist in good standing, you can get away with murder? Why are they going after Murdoch now for some phone hacking, which is standard operating procedure for big Fortune 100 media companies? I mean, Lady Gaga's partner, right, a week after they signed their record deal, fell off a building. I'm sure it was suicide. Yeah. I mean, if you really live in the real world, this world is run by the ruthless. So I think the whole thing stinks to high heaven. I'm all for Rupert Murdoch to be punished. But first, they need to punish people like this guy. Or it needs to be investigated. Let's find out whoever was behind this. Millionaire 6-year-old son dies after mysterious accident at mansion where his father's lover was found hanging naked. So first, the 6-year-old son falls down the stairs and then dies, conveniently, yesterday in the hospital. The 6-year-old son of a multi-millionaire pharmacological tycoon has died just days after his father's girlfriend was found dead, hanging naked from a balcony with her arms and legs bound. 2 days before Rebecca Nelipa's bizarre death, Max Shakanai, if I'm pronouncing that right, Shakanai, had fallen down the stairs of his father's historic mansion in Coronado in her care. He died at Randy Children's Hospital in San Diego yesterday. So this article is trying to kind of imply maybe she was involved, so that's why this happened to her. Medics and pharmaceuticals chief executive Jonah Shakanai announced. And it goes on here in the articles. Again, son, girlfriend of CEO died after incidents at San Diego mansion. And the police are saying they're not sure it's going to be a murder investigation, that she was naked, hanging from the front balcony in plain view of the house with her arms and legs tied. You know, there was a Palestinian professor here in Austin a few years ago who was found with his arms and legs duct tape, tortured, gutted, wrist slit. And I know because the imam called me about it, and later it came out in the news. The Austin police ruled it was suicide. That's right. Off the Congress Street Bridge, he reportedly gut himself, slit his wrist, and then with duct tape bound, his mouth, arms, and legs. And remember, Pulitzer Prize winner Gary Webb for Dark Alliance on CIA drug trafficking had a new book coming out, even documenting it further, and had told friends and family, and I'd even talked to him a few months before, that he had, you know, a lot of stuff coming out. Would I help him build a website to pull all his documents out? And he had guys breaking in his house, so he was going to move. And then they shotgunned him twice in the back of the head. And the police, was that in Sacramento? The police ruled that he had killed himself. And they said it was quite normal to shoot yourself twice in the heads. But I'm digressing. We've got Rick Perry growing more comfortable with the call from God and citizens for him to run for president. And I told you the word is he's going to announce coming up in a couple of weeks at that prayer meeting down in Houston. And of course, he'll drop the Christian evangelicals once he gets the nomination like a old shoe, to use the words of Jim Tucker. We told you 3.5 years ago in Endgame he'd be the 2012 nominee that Bilderberg wanted, because the Bilderberg group, to a great extent, runs the planet. They steer it. They're trying to totally run and dominate the planet. And we're attempting to point out that they bring the politicians, Bill Clinton, a year and a half before he ran for president from nowhere, backwater governor, boom, president. Tony Blair, nobody, member of parliament, is summoned to Bilderberg. Only a few politicians a year are summoned. And when they're summoned, you better believe they're on the fast track to be El Presidente or prime minister. And again, my issue with Rick Perry is, I'm going to cover this more later, but the point is he was for forced inoculations with the Merck Gardasil shot that admittedly killed people in trials and has killed them since and doesn't protect you from human papillomavirus. He pushed the whole NAFTA superhighway situation. He pushed that for the North American Union. He also, of course, was Al Gore's former campaign manager for the state of Texas in his presidential run, the first time when he ran against Bill Clinton in the early 90s for that nomination. Rick Perry pledged that he was not going to run for president and was going to stay and be Texas governor 6 months ago. He pledged when the whole time, and I knew it from insiders, he was planning to run, and we told you that was a fake pledge, and that he would break it. It's one thing to say, I pledge, and then, well, I'm breaking my pledge. Then you know, read my lips, no new taxes, you can't be trusted. That's bad enough. But to knowingly put out a fake pledge and then say, oh, shucks, I'm the reluctant politician, you drug me here with wild horses. You drafted me. I'm going to do it. And in his statements yesterday to an Iowa newspaper, of course, he's like, I don't want to be president. But my wife and constituents and God want me to. And so I'm really thinking about it. I told you, he made that pledge to break it. At that time, he was not intending to not run for president. He was intending to play out this whole scripted baloney. Now, I'm going to tell you what's really going on with the debt ceiling. Stay with us. Stay with us. This is key. You want to know what's really okay, before I get into the latest debt ceiling fracas, diversion, showboating that's going on, I want to remind you that Ron Paul and many other economists, researchers, myself included, have pointed out that for at least 3 years, this country has been in an irreconcilable financial position. We have been maneuvered to a point where we have been signed on by our traitorous politicians to $1,500 trillion, $600+ trillion of that, the Washington Post even admits, supposedly owed by the American people. The other 900 trillion or so is owed by the other nations run by the very same six global megabanks that are the New World Order. They're the groups that run it, finance it, set up global standardization, Agenda 21, carbon taxes, everything. They run the show. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citibank. They are the people that run the entire show, Bank of England. And they have their private holding companies, their front companies, their shell corporations, Federal Reserve, IMF, World Bank. Now, continuing, remember this article. There was a whole bunch of them. Times of London, AP. This happens to come out of USA Today. Headline from May 10th. China says the U.S. is already defaulting on its debt. And the Chinese say, we don't care if you raise your debt ceiling. We don't care if you sell more treasury bonds. We're not going to buy them because you're devaluing the dollar. And a day after China said that, Bernanke came out and said, no, we are not going to have QE3. Now, last week he said, yes, we're going to do it. They're still printing at record pace. Of course they're going to have QE3. This is the massive tax increase without even passing tax increases. And by the way, they're in the news today saying the average tax rate will be really 70%. That's in the Wall Street Journal under what Obama is proposing. But again, the big mega banks and their subsidiaries like Google and GE, they pay 0 to 2.4. That was in even MSNBC this weekend. 0 to 2.4. You're like, well, they individually pay. No, they don't, because they all work for subsidiaries that are offshore. based in countries like Luxembourg and Ireland and others where they've written the rules where they're exempt. That's why all these big billionaires are on TV every day saying, we'll fix the economy, raise taxes, get the rich people. They say, I'm rich, I'm Warren Buffett. Get me, raise taxes, when he fully knows he's exempt from it all. And the average working person says, well, get that rich guy. Yeah, get people making $125,000 individually, $250,000 collectively in a household. And that will further kill the economy. I mean, look, Kennedy cut taxes by 50% in one bracket, by what, 38 in the other bracket, and tax receipts doubled. They know that. California, when they raise taxes, know it's going to put the country into bankruptcy. That's what the banksters want. They're ruthless. But here it is, USA Today. Forget the debt ceiling debate. The U.S. is already in default, a Chinese rating agency claims. There you go. What did Ron Paul say a month ago and again last week? It's all a diversion. Okay, they're going to raise the debt ceiling so that the U.S. will, quote, sign on to the money the Federal Reserve orders the Treasury to print and the ones and zeros they order to be put in the big six mega banks' coffers, which they then loan out to us. And the government, for the right to have the banks create new money, because they took over that power in 1913 from the traitorous Congress, Federal Reserve Act, then we pay interest and the tax increases to them. And then the austerity, where they cut the basic services but raise the taxes because everything has to go to the, quote, too big to fail. There's another article out today where 70-plus percent of the debts worldwide are owed by the six banks themselves. 70-plus percent. In some countries, like Iceland, it's over 90. In Greece, it's over 90. In Ireland, it's over 90. But globally, I've got the article here, it's 70-something. I've got the exact number. 70-plus percent admittedly owed by them. And guess what? They also own 70%, control 70-plus percent of bank deposits worldwide. All the bank deposits, all the real estate, all the money wouldn't pay for a fraction of the 1.5 quadrillion. Quadrillion. They're debating $14 trillion in debt. They're debating all this. They're just maneuvering us. They already put the debt ceiling up 4 months ago. They're already announcing QE3. They'll be QE4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 until that dollar isn't even worth the paper it's written on. A dollar will soon be worth what a penny is. The dollar, since 1913, has already lost 98% of its buying value. Well, now they're getting rid of those last few pennies of value, robbing everyone.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., we are here live, Central. Okay, we're going to Tony Gosling, great reporter from Bilderberg.org. He's been popping in on a lot of international television, giving his inside breakdown from his sources on what's really behind the whole News Corp scandal in England. Then I'm getting back into gold above 1600 as debt default fears simmer. The banksters threaten to get rid of U.S. Credit rating. That's a complete fraud. We're already have already defaulted. That's all coming up. Silver going above $40 an ounce because the banksters are signaling dollar devaluation. That is all coming up. Wayne Paul, himself a CPA, and of course, brother of Ron Paul will be joining us coming up at the middle of the second hour. We'll also have open phones coming up in the second hour and a ton of news. Military news, CIA veteran Robert Baer predicts September is Israel-Iran war. It is all coming up. But right now, I want to bring on air former researcher for BBC London, reporter for BBC Wiltshire Sound, helped establish Eye Contact Video Network and Eco Village Network UK. Since 2009, he's produced and presented Friday Drive Time, the weekly politics show on Bristol Community FM, which gives a provincial perspective on the news, Britain and around the world. Bilderberg.org is his website. I would say he's best known for doing great work reporting on the corrupt ruling fascistic class controlling our planet. But I wanted to get Tony on because this whole News Corps situation is exploding, and I want to get his take on why this is happening. We're not saying Rupert Murdoch's a good guy, but this is par for the course activity for a lot of big Fortune 100 media companies. Why is this happening now? If you're in favor of the globalist, if you're in good standing, you can literally engage in any type of mayhem you wish. AP, UK Prime Minister calls for emergency session of Parliament over this. Of course, you know, yesterday the head of Scotland Yard had to step down reportedly with a bribery investigation. The head of News Corps in England, Rebecca Brooks, has been arrested over the weekend. Murdoch ran in there last week to meet with her and obviously get their story straight. Continuing also now, this morning, the head of the Metropolitan Police, the police commissioner, also resigned, and this goes right up to Cameron, and that's why he's acting like he's investigating the whole thing. Joining us is reporter Tony Gosling. Tony, thanks for coming on with us.
Hi, Alex. Thanks very much for having me on.
Okay, what's the inside baseball? What's the inside cricket on this, or the inside soccer? What's the intel you got? I mean, I want to get into the scandal, but why is this happening now?
Well, just to let you know, we've just heard in the last hour or so that the number, not only the number one policeman in Britain resigned yesterday, but we've also had the number two resign as well, just literally within the last hour or so. So Sir Paul Stevenson resigned yesterday about 7 p.m. our time, and literally just this afternoon we've had his number two, who's the head of counterterrorism for the entire country, resign today. He resigned because they were threatening him basically with suspension, and that's John Yates. So we've had a really totally unprecedented situation. I don't think ever in history have Britain's two top policemen resigned within 24 hours. It's absolutely astounding. And it's just kind of, as I predicted in a way, because last week I was saying that this investigation is now moving away from News International for a while, from the Rupert Murdoch empire, and now is looking at the police handling of the whole affair, because the Metropolitan Police have had information about corruption at News International for something like 7 or 8 years, sitting on their books.
Yeah, at least 2005 is what major papers are reporting.
Yeah, so why haven't they acted on that? That's the question. And, you know, this was clearly not a small little bit of phone hacking that was going on of royal telephones, which is the way they wanted it to appear. And what's happened, of course, is all these policemen have sat down together and say, well, do you think we want to investigate ourselves? And then they've decided not to. So that's why this is really starting to unfold. It's like a dam breaking, Alex. You know, they've been trying to put little bits of wood to prop the thing up for the last 6 or 7 years, and finally, there's no way they're going to prop it up anymore, because the truth is coming out now. We've got some decent police on this Operation Weeting doing a proper investigation. I mean, we just heard also that other newspapers, there's been police raids at other tabloid newspapers like the Daily Star, for example, and the police are really going for it now, it seems. And of course, that means that those police that are basically corrupt and have refused to investigate this in the past, or have only done partial investigations, so they've got prima facie evidence of criminal activity which they've not acted on, those were the guys who are now in the frame too. They're in the dock, most definitely. And I don't think that these two police, and let's not forget also that John Yates, the top counter-terrorism policeman in Britain. So it raises all sorts of questions about the way he's handled all the fallout from the 7/7 London bombings, and the police handling of terrorism generally in Britain is now also under question, because it's been shown that Yates has basically moved around the whole issue and made sure that the embarrassing questions being asked about why he hasn't been pursuing the phone hacking have come home to roost. So absolutely crisis at the Metropolitan Police right now. The question is, who is actually going to be a credible person to take over? And I think there's a real problem here, because we've just heard announced within the last 10, 15 minutes that the person who's taking over from Yates as the head of the counter-terrorism unit is Cressida Dick. Now, you may never have heard of Cressida Dick, this lady policeman, but she was the one who was promoted after her botched operation, which led to the death of the Brazilian electrician Jean-Charles de Menezes and the London Underground tube, where just after the 7/7 London bombings, Menezes was basically assassinated by what looks like a kind of SAS unit attached to the Metropolitan Police. And Cressida Dick presided over the killing of Jean-Charles de Menezes. So it looks to me as if we're going to have another crisis when it's decided that she is not necessarily the best person to be in charge of counterterrorism.
Sure.
Her big badge of honor is a massive botched operation.
So you're saying, or an operation that went quite well to get rid of a witness. They said he ran when they shot him. The truth is they sat on him, squatted on him, and unloaded their clips into his head and chest, making sure they got rid of that.
Well, I think the people who did that actually really did believe that this guy was a terrorist. But Cressida Dick, it was her on her watch that it all happened. She was Gold Commander on that operation. And Peter Power was the guy that brought in, this is the 7-7 chap, who was the guy that brought in this bronze, silver, gold commander system, which there's been a lot of questions over at the Metropolitan Police.
That's right. He was the former spokesman of Scotland Yard. He went on ITN that day during the bombings, right after them, and said, it's quite remarkable. We had a drill of the exact same bus and exact same trains at the exact same locations at the exact same time. It's quite incredible.
Yeah, he's a bit of a sort of spooky figure. You can imagine him kind of waltzing across the screen in some kind of 1970s horror film, I think. You know, he's a very strange character. There's also a lot of criticism of John Yates and Sir Paul Stevenson, who was the chief of the Metropolitan Police, who resigned yesterday, for actually hiring what turned out to be basically crooks into the public relations department at Scotland Yard. So, Alex, this is really unfolding now, and I don't think, I mean, there are big cracks appearing in the dam, and it hasn't actually finished breaking yet. This has got a long way to go still.
Okay, well, listening to you, Tony, I know you're right there in England and are a journalist and know a lot of these players, so I respect your view on this. And I agree this should all be investigated. My problem is, as you were just alluding to, it's like shark teeth. You get the head of Scotland Yard, you get the police commissioner and others having to step down reportedly because of the cover-up, and then into their place rolls another row of people that are just as unsavory. And so that's the issue here. We know that they've known for at least 6.5-7 years about this, and that it goes a lot deeper than just phone hacking. The information that's come out is that they have MI5, MI6, and local police spying on members of parliament to then use dirt on them for blackmail. That's the inside baseball that I've been told, but I didn't want to go public.
MI5 and MI6, Alex. This is private investigators who are actually, some of them are maybe ex-police or ex-security services.
But they contractors,
do not have
mercenaries.
The same legal rights as the security service do. I don't think, most people don't have a problem with having a kind of official spy agency that actually does see as its role national security to make sure.
But Tony, my point is just to interject.
People are not like that. They are actually just private hired guns who've been hired by News International to do something criminal.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is it's come out multiple times in the last few years, over and over again, that MI5 has been spying on members of parliament, and so that was the issue I was raising. Now, let's go back to the New York Post. That's also owned by Murdoch. It's come out, that was his big flagship New York paper till he got the Wall Street Journal, that the Page Six would basically threaten to print dirt about people unless they got money. And so we've seen those scandals. What I'm asking you is, you say that it's much worse than just phone hacking, Tony. Are the allegations that it's blackmail? Or can you tell us if the rabbit hole starts with the phone hacking and you're saying this is just the beginning of the dam breaking, what else is behind the dam?
Well, certainly there's now also evidence that live phone calls have been illegally listened into by rich and powerful people. There's quite a lot of evidence coming out that private information has been got by blaggers. And, of course, what David Cameron is trying to do, because let's not forget, we've got the Prime Minister in the frame here too, because he hired Andy Coulson, who was the editor of the News of the World at the time all this was going on.
Sure, he's involved.
To be his private helper with regards to the press, his press secretary, right the way through the run-up to the last year's election campaign and right up till recently when Coulson resigned. I mean, you know, this is... I don't know if you realise, but actually Cameron is at the moment out in South Africa, which is a weird place. I mean, I just get alarm bells ringing in my head. What, you know, Cameron must be sitting out in South Africa saying, oh, my God, what am I doing here? You know, I need to be back home to try and control this crisis. And I wonder whether there's it's ironic, isn't it, that there is also this skeleton in David Cameron's closet that back in 1991, at least if you go to Peter Eyre's blog, I don't know if you know that, but he's a former NATO intelligence chap, Peter Eyre's blog explains that Cameron, before he became Prime Minister, before he became leader of the Conservative Party, did a little deal with Arms Corps in South Africa who had 10 nuclear weapons that they wanted to get rid of, and three of those nuclear weapons, apparently by Cameron, were sold in order to raise money for the Conservative Party. Now, this sounds incredible, but if you go to Peter Eyre's blog, Eyre, you'll see the whole story there. Three nuclear weapons lost. And he
No, did. I remember that. And wasn't Israel involved in the background, too?
That's right. Absolutely right, yeah. Alex. Yeah, you don't miss a trick. And
there was also race-specific bioweapons associated with another subgroup, but sorry.
So I imagine that David Cameron out in South Africa today is just literally trembling in his boots. He's wondering, when is my criminal activity going to come home here? And when are people going to find out that actually maybe there's more to this story to come?
And, well, Tony, that's where I was going next, and you're starting to get there. Blackmail, nuclear weapons. We know David Cameron hanging out with Gaddafi, groups that finance him, British arms producers, some of the biggest sellers of really high-tech weapons that our troops will be facing, and British troops if they do go in the next 2 months into Libya, unless Gaddafi stands down. So that's what I'm saying. Why did this break now? If the other power structures in the UK...
I can tell you why it broke now, and it's amazing how this stuff happens. About 2 weeks ago, the Guardian newspaper published a story about a girl called Millie Dowler who was murdered, and it came out in the evidence that Nick Davis, this investigative journalist, a brilliant guy who wrote a book called Flat Earth News, he's probably the best investigative journalist in the country, he's based down in Brighton, and he put this story in the Guardian a couple of weeks ago about Millie Dowler and how her phone was hacked into by Glenn Mulcair for the News of the World. Now, what happened when her phone was hacked into, she'd been murdered, and what it meant that her phone was actually full up. Her voicemail messages were full up. And what Mulcair was doing was actually deleting this murdered girl's phone messages so that he could pick up more information from other people who were worried about her. That story absolutely appalled the nation. And it's really accelerated this whole phone hacking scandal to the proper proportion. Because, it was a big attempt by the Murdoch Empire and by the Metropolitan Police to cover it up back 6 or 7 years ago. And what's happened, like I said, that dam has been kind of building ever since. And finally, it's gone at last. You know, so at least more people are realizing just how disgusting this was. Hacking into the phones of the victims of the 7/7.
And so, so this is how they got Al Capone was on tax evasion, not the murders. And clearly, the police cover up, the bribes now coming out.
You've got an establishment in Britain. I don't know, you know, how these things really work, but you've got a big establishment, which is not necessarily, it's generally right-leaning conservative, but many people in the Conservative Party are not happy at all with the example that David Cameron is making as a Conservative Prime Minister. I don't think that he has really won the hearts and minds of the Conservative Party in his first year or so in office, and so they are quite happy, I think, now to see him elbowed out of the way. And I think ultimately that will be the result of this crisis, that we see the Prime Minister being forced to resign as well, and possibly even a general election. I mean, Cameron has been fighting to have these four-year fixed-term parliaments, and now we know why. It's because he's been standing on very, very fragile ground. So, I mean, quite how it all pans out is impossible to see, but I certainly think that the next person to be in the frame when he arrives back at Heathrow Airport from his little, nice little trip to South Africa is David Cameron.
He's probably down there checking on his bank accounts, isn't he?
Well, I bet he's sitting out there wondering, well, maybe I should just not go back to Britain and buy a nice house out here in South Africa and just enjoy the rest of my life on the beach, and maybe Britain is not the place for me.
Now, again, Tony Gosling is a former BBC researcher, has a radio show in England. His information has always been proven to be very accurate and well-researched, and wow, this really fleshes things out here.
Yeah,
but
because Cameron has been saying, and I'll quote him now, the reason that Sir Paul Stevenson resigned is because it has his role in this whole affair has a direct bearing on public confidence in the police. Now, Now, this is a funny thing to say, because David Cameron's decision to employ Andy Coulson, who was the editor of the News of the World, while all these horrendous criminal activities were going on, which nobody would have bought the paper if they knew this kind of way, but this is the way they were getting stories.
Well, that's my point, is that Cameron is a protege, not just of Bilderberg, but also of Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch's full empire has been behind him, and here he is hiring the head of the paper to work for him. I mean, he is right in the middle of this.
Yes, and all the last year or so, since Cameron was elected, he's been having regular meetings every couple of weeks with the chief executives of the news various parts of the News International Empire. So he has not realized. I mean, many of us could see this coming. When Andy Coulson was appointed to be his press secretary in the run-up to the general election, people were scratching their heads thinking, is Cameron blind? What is going on here? Because this guy is like a little ticking time bomb sitting in number 10 Downing Street. And that, I'm afraid that time bomb is going off right now.
Yeah, this is Nixonian to the mass, to the max, and the fact that he's run off to South Africa, the fact that all these different police chiefs are stepping down, that the head of News Corps in the UK has been arrested over the weekend, the fact that they're opening up investigations in the United States and Australia. I'm going to talk about what this means for Rupert Murdoch with reporter, talk show host, researcher Tony Gosling. Stay with us. We're getting into gold at an all-time record high above $1,600 an ounce. Silver surging past 40. Coming up at the start of the next hour, then brother of Ron Paul, anti-globalist, great patriot in his own right, Wayne Paul will be joining us to talk about the presidential run and more coming up in about T-minus 40 minutes from now. Tony Gosling of Bilderberg.org will be with us for 5 minutes into the next hour, that little five-minute segment. Before we go any further, Bilderberg West, as they call it, Bohemian Grove, is in full swing. We're getting a lot of information from inside and outside that I'll be covering the next few days. If you want to get my film, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, it has another film on the same DVD, an updated one, The Order of Death, to understand the mindset of these people. This is normally $24.95. It's $19.95. And you get Invisible Empire, New World Order Defined, excellent film by Jason Burmes, along the same lines, but looking at the whole geopolitical ramifications and how they use sex, blackmail, and the rest of it on them, free, and Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare Come True, free. This is running to the end of the month. Best deal I've ever offered. They just get better and better. I want to get the word out, and your purchase supports the broadcast. A film, a free book, and two films. So three films and a book, $19.95. It's the Bohemian Grove, buy one, get two free. It's a really good deal, available at Infowars.com. The Bohemian Grove special at Infowars.com, or call 888-253-3139. Now, former BBC researcher, British radio talk show host, investigator, Tony Gosling is our guest for the rest of the short segment, the next little short segment. Tony, there's so many facets to cover, but how is this going to affect Murdoch? Because you can see this is imploding fast, and
I think
blood.
To be honest with you, Alex, I think Murdoch's empire in Britain is really crumbling as we speak. That's going to be over, I think, maybe even within a month or something, because what's happened is he's got absolutely no credibility. And this is one of the things that you do actually need if you can get people to buy your newspapers and certainly pay to view on the internet, is you need to have some credibility. That is all crumbling around him. He's been even putting adverts in his own newspapers today to try and convince the readers that what they're reading is in some way useful or true or unbiased. But let me tell you, on the page 3 of the Times today, he's got a statement which is from the resignation speech of Sir Paul Stevenson, and this is selected extracts from it. And the most important thing that Sir Paul Stevenson said, which was criticising David Cameron himself, has been omitted from those extracts. So you can see the kind of people we're dealing with News International. Propagandists, pure propagandists. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Murdoch's empire within a month or so has just completely crumbled and disappeared here in Britain. One of the rules we have is that you've got to be a fit and proper person to run one of these big news companies, and I think he's proving beyond any shadow of a doubt that he's not a fit and proper person to do that.
Well, let me expand on that briefly.
All eyes in Britain are going to be on something tomorrow, which is called the Culture, Media and Sport Select Committee, which is where three people from News International, Rebecca Brooks, who's now been arrested and has been bailed, as well as Rupert Murdoch himself and James Murdoch, are all due to appear there tomorrow. So I imagine millions of eyes across the world will have their eyes on that. And what we're talking about here is a kind of epic struggle. It's like the Vatican versus the Crown here. Two big power networks. One is the British Parliament, and the other one is the Murdoch Empire. Absolutely daggers drawn in that culture, media, and sport.
And you know, News Corp has a lot of dirt on the royal family and others they've been keeping. And so I wouldn't count Murdoch out yet. And I'll say this, just like I said with Dominique Strauss-Kahn, I don't like him, but the whole way that went down was suspicious, and now it's come out it was a setup. And all I'm saying, Tony, is I respect your view on this, and you're probably right, but at the same time, why are they going after Murdoch now? Is it that he was overshadowing the BBC and the state-run propagandist on that end? Was it that he was attempting to upset completely the old guard? I mean, sure, I believe the dirt's there, and it's a lot deeper than what they're saying, but why is it being brought out now? Back in 1 minute. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Now into hour number two. Wayne Paul, brother Ron Paul, is going to be joining us coming up in T-minus 30 minutes. Been fighting the Fed and the IRS for more than 50 years. Look forward to interviewing Wayne, been on several times in the past. Fellow Texan, Tony Gosling, Bilderberg.org, great talk show host, researcher, former BBC investigator. And bringing that up, look, News Corp is propaganda, so is the BBC. We know they've gotten very jealous of the power of News Corp. I know News Corp was trying to deregulate media, some would say, so they could, you know, take over in England. And we now know for 6 years the police have known about this and covered up the indiscretions of News Corp. So again, I go back to the start. Why are they bringing this out now? I'm not a fan of Dominique Strauss-Kahn or the IMF, but I thought it was suspicious at the time, because normally these top globalists are untouchable. Why are they untouchable now? And I think you said it. There's a huge war going on, but certainly there are interests out there who aren't as pure as the driven snow either, that'll be happy to see the fall of the News Corp holdings in England.
I think what's happened is that we've got a difference in attitude amongst the chiefs at News International. Is that it's a kind of pack mentality. They're starting to run scared. They're starting to make mistakes. They're starting to sort of trip up slightly. And this has really given, I think, the British establishment, which is a peculiar beast, has given them the feeling that actually now they're smelling blood and they're going to go for it. Because particularly with the stories that came out about hacking the dead soldiers that had died in Afghanistan and Iraq, the hacking of the 7/7 victims, this is really like the final straw, I think. And let's not forget that Murdoch has not been loved in Britain. One of our greatest ever writers who came from my part of the world, the Forest of Dean, just into the South Wales from where Bristol is in the West Country, he was one of the greatest writers we ever had. He died about 1993, but he named, before he died, his cancer, his pancreatic cancer, he named it Rupert. And he made a speech on British television and at the Royal Television Society about this, saying, look, Rupert Murdoch is a cancer, and we've got to get rid of this cancer somehow. And before he died, that's what he said. And I think there's a feeling which has been going on for a long time. Let's not forget, Murdoch bought the Times in 1981.
But this, hold on, this isn't the revenge of Soros, though. I'm not saying Murdoch's good, but, I mean, Murdoch has really been bringing kind of the Al Gorean carbon tax collectivist to their knees at many levels, while at the same time ordering News Corp in the U.S. to promote global warming. And this isn't just an inter-establishment coup, counter-coup?
I don't think so. No, I think it's fueled by genuine anger about these, particularly about these, the hacking into murdered children's telephones, hacking into the phones of dead soldiers and their families, hacking into the phones of 7/7 victims whilst they may be in hospital. This is absolutely appalling.
All right, in closing, what about the reports?
What's fueling all this right now? I don't think there's any kind of weird conspiracy behind it, but it has been a dam, Alex, which has been building right since the 1980s. You know, the press in Britain really died in the 1980s with Rupert Murdoch's takeover of the Times newspaper in 1981, right the way through to the takeover of the BBC in 1986, which was the last time that we had a director general of the BBC who actually was a proper current affairs program maker. That he was replaced by an accountant. We've had all sorts of clones, business-minded people.
We're out of time.
And this dam has been building. The other thing that many people don't realise in that part of the world is that Rupert Murdoch, at the time of the last election, as part of the deal for supporting Cameron and his friends, has been lobbying like crazy for the undermining of the BBC. And I think, you know, most of the establishment in this country is much more pro-BBC than it is an internationalist like Murdoch. We like to think that we do actually have our own broadcasting system.
All right.
That comes from Britain. And Murdoch has made a big mistake in trying to attack the BBC.
Well, we're out of time, Tony. We'll have to get you back as this unfolds. But I agree, this is a BBC seizing on it. And I tell you, Murdoch, BBC, I don't know which one of those things floating around in the water smells worse, but we'll continue to track it and follow it. You mentioned the infighting. His daughter reportedly is having cussing fits, so they're definitely in deep trouble. Thank you so much. We'll be right back on The Economy.
Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, if you just joined us, we're now into hour number two. Brother of Ron Paul, presidential candidate Wayne Paul, who for 50 years has been exposing the Federal Reserve, fighting the IRS, a real in-the-trenches activist, just like his brother. He'll be joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour, 33 after, for a couple segments. Then we're going to have open phones and a ton of military police state news coming up in the third hour, like this report. CIA veteran Robert Baer predicts September Israel-Iran war. And Robert Baer wouldn't be predicting that if it hadn't been green-lighted, but it still could be averted. We're going to be breaking that down. Also, Japan scrambles to protect damaged reactor from typhoon that's set to hit the coast. So we're going to be going over that news as well. I just want to finish talking about the News Corp. You know, that's the global holding company of News International, Rupert Murdoch Holdings. Rupert Murdoch plays both sides of the fence. He supports the carbon tax, but also fights it. He supports Hillary Clinton, but also funds her competitors. And that's how top globalists operate. He goes to Davos. He's a world government supporter. But he understands that there is a, quote, market, in his view, of people that are awake to it. So more and more, that's what Glenn Beck and other things were about. But when it got too successful, they got rid of him. And the word is from folks that really know Roger Ailes, he's actually anti-New World Order. But more and more, he is kind of drifting off into the recesses of News Corp and losing his influence. And he's also reportedly has medical issues. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Last time I talked about this, the fact that I knew this caused circuses at News Corp and made them hate me even more, even though I'm not an enemy of News Corp, of the people that are there, like Lou Dobbs, Napolitano, and others who are great people. That said, remember 3 months ago it came out that a year before, Politico reported on this 3 months ago, that Media Matters, publicly financed by George Soros, connected him with the White House publicly, with Cass Sunstein, who says he wants to cognitively infiltrate, get alternative media arrested. They said, it is our job, this is over a year ago now, came out 3 months ago, but at a meeting, 14, 15 months ago, again, came out a year later, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, you can pull up the dates. In fact, let's pull up Politico. What was the exact headline for folks that forget? It was Media Matters wants to infiltrate and destroy News Corp. And they said their mission is to get hired there. That's espionage. That's private spying. That's sabotage. They said, we want to get into their offices. We want to destroy them. We want to dig up dirt on them. We want to come after them. So, You see that going on. You see this internal battle between different camps of the New World Order that I've been talking about really coming to a head. Does that say Murdoch's good? No. It's just that the Soros-Al Gore camp is clearly in an all-out war, and you've got the state-run BBC, and I'm sorry, folks, if I've got to choose BBC over News Corp, I'm going to choose News Corp. I mean, the BBC are masters of disinformation, brainwashing, dirty tricks. It wasn't News Corp getting internal government press releases that they were going to blow up Building 7 on 9/11. It was BBC. And they later admitted, yeah, we were sent a communique that that tower was going to fall and jump the gun. I told you that's what that was. So BBC is super bad news. Now, have they had some good reporters in them? You know, they had the guy that made The Power of Nightmares about these fake wars and even alluded to staged terror. They do some of that to keep their audience, and more they've been phased out. Just like Dominique Strauss-Kahn, don't like him. This is how elitists act. Now it turns out, did have sex with a woman reportedly, prostitute, hooked in with mafia, Sarkozy spying on the whole thing, announcing he'd been arrested before the police had even picked him up or it was in the news. That was staged. Now, does that mean that DSK is a good guy? No, it doesn't. I don't like DSK. I'd like to see him go to jail for the IMF and World Bank's crimes. Just like I'd like to see Bernanke. It's now come out that the big banks that he fronts for openly sold Europe, the United States government, private individuals, bad derivatives that they knew were fraudulent were going to blow up. Well, we already knew that. They created them. Bill Clinton got rid of it. Simultaneously in Europe in the late 90s, they got rid of laws blocking that. We had laws against it because if private megabanks can create unlimited trillions in fake financial instruments, A, they're going to take over and destroy competition with unfair trade practices. B, it's going to undermine the entire investment system and destroy the pension funds and the credibility of the major currencies, which is all happening. And on the ashes of that, they're openly announcing the world government run by the private bank of the world, Time, Newsweek, Financial Times, list goes on and on, offering their new level of control as the solution to the problems they engineered that aren't problems for them. They have really pulled this off with great precision, and only our naivete, only our ignorance has allowed them to get away with a lot of this. Now, look at these headlines. Obama, lawmakers have resumed debt talks. But I read to you the Chinese statements earlier where they said that, let me just grab it, USA Today, 6/10, last month, Chinese say the U.S. is already defaulting on debt. Forget the debt ceiling debate. The U.S. is already in default, says Chinese government and debt rating agencies. Of course, they're into QE3 already. Remember Bob Chapman 2 months ago, whenever Bernanke said, we're not going into QE3. He said, Alex, here's the evidence and listed the numbers. They were already in QE3. By the time they talk about officially being in QE3 next month, they're going to be in QE4. That means devaluing your dollar, your savings, your fixed income. It is the biggest, most sickening, disgusting tax in the world. All this debt ceiling stuff about, oh, we got to cut government spending and raise your taxes, that money's all slated to too big to fail banks that's impossible to ever prop up. It's designed to implode. And I hear all these talk show hosts who just don't get it. We've got to get this simple information out to everybody. Now, look at this news. Why is gold surging in the normally dead time for gold, the middle of the summer? July is always the worst. July, August. That usually picks up by the end of August. Why is it an all-time record in the middle of July? Why is silver shooting towards its record, pumping past 40 today? After the bankers did all this finagling months ago to drive it down, because the dollar and every other major currency in G20 coordinated devaluation is being turned into a ruble, a peso. Okay? I mean, the peso's rising will soon be on par. The Canada's already passed us. Just a decade ago, a loonie was worth 60 cents on the dollar. Gold isn't going up. Your dollar is going down, and they've signaled, yeah, we're going to fully devalue the dollar. So you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, I want to bring Ted Anderson up. Remember 3 months ago when they artificially drove gold and silver down? And I got Ted on, and I said, I'm not selling my gold or silver because the fundamentals of this. You look at an 11-year graph, 12-year graph, it's all going straight up. They do little manipulative dips, but it always retraces and goes up even more. because of the fundamentals. The globalists are buying gold and silver. So I briefly wanted to bring Ted Anderson up to talk about how big a deal this is, and Geithner 2 weeks ago saying it's going to be the worst thing in our lives and it's not going to end for a long time. They're basically now admitting we're going into a depression, Ted.
Well, they sure are, and Bloomberg is reporting through charters saying that gold is going to hit $5,000 an ounce by the year 2020. I mean, there's so much going on in the marketplace, fears of the European crises, and that's just swelling up. It's making the S&P 500 drop. I mean, just about anything you can think of that could be disastrous for the United States economy is happening right now, and that's why you're seeing gold go up. I mean, gold hit a high today already of $16,850. Silver hit a high today of $40.82. Obviously, there's a lot of problems that are out there, just like China saying that we've already defaulted on our debt. Well, if you're having to print money and borrow it in order to have, in order to keep things going, you've defaulted on your debt. It'd be just like one individual who has too many credit cards and signs up for the next one to pay the last one. You're beyond help. You cannot be fixed. You will have to file bankruptcy. The way the United States files bankruptcy, they start the printing press. And that's
and it's not just the Chinese. It's Ron Paul. It's Jim Rogers. It's Mark Faber. It's Peter Schiff. But you don't have to be an economist to know this. This has happened over and over again. It happened in Rome. It happened in Babylon. And but the sickening thing is, Ted, they've maneuvered us into this, and then they're posing as our saviors, telling us raise taxes and it will fix it. The only thing that'll fix it is saying we don't owe the 1.5 quadrillion that the banks created.
That's exactly right. You cannot fix this problem without getting rid of the printing press and getting rid of the Federal Reserve System. We have a system that is compounding against us. We have currency that comes into existence through a loan. So in other words, we have to go into debt just in order to get it. If we have better economic times, it just means we're going to go further into debt. We are now down at the edge of it. It's like a snowball rolling down the hill, picking up more snow as it comes down. Eventually, it crashes and it busts apart. And that's exactly what's going on. Compounding interest against a fiat currency will kill it. And that's where we're at. We've had 100 years of this fiat system.
They designed it in their own admissions to do this and to convert the entire economy over to themselves. Then once they have more assets and all the real assets in the world, they fully implode the economy and call for their global VAT, global carbon tax, paid to the private banks who engineered it, and they've got Bill O'Reilly out promoting carbon taxes and VAT now, and conservatives are saying, yes, I don't want my retirement check. I hear veterans calling in saying, I don't deserve it for my kids, don't give me my retirement check. That will then just mean no money into the economy, further depression, which further brings us to our knees. And if you gave up all of your retirement checks that you worked for, you would never even pay off a fraction of this. But you can't get the message to them because Fox News is telling them that it's good.
That's right. I mean, it's just such a snow job, and people are buying it in some cases. Of course, your audience isn't. They're more aware of what's going on. But that's what people just need to be educated.
Ted, stay there. I want to hear about this Bloomberg article. I didn't know they were talking about $5,000 an ounce gold. And if it does go that direction, if they keep devaluing the dollar, it won't be 2020. It won't be, eight and a half years from now. It'll be a year from now. But regardless, they're killing the globe's currencies, not just the dollar. And there's no perfect place to be, but the best bet in my research is gold and silver. We'll be right back. It's like watching a train wreck. I saw the train coming. I saw the truck parked on the tracks. I saw the train hit the truck. Now I'm watching the train derail. In fact, there was the headline from Bloomberg. Jaron just threw it on screen. Stan Charts Chin says gold may reach 5,000 by 2020. They've got the video report up there. We'll get that linked up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com by Kurt Nemo. We've got a lot of other important news coming up. And Ron Paul's brother, Wayne Paul, truly a chip off the old block, or chip from the same block, will be joining us coming up in the next segment. Ted, going back to you, I know that, I don't know, when they plunge gold and silver Now it's, of course, retraced its losses, gold breaking an all-time record, silver surging back past 40. I know that you rushed in knowing the trend and bought a bunch of gold and silver, and unlike other brokers, you actually hold it, A. B, you pass on the low prices. Now that it's gone up, it's the equivalent of getting in a time machine and teleporting back to a few months ago to get that low price. But as of talking to you last Thursday, you'd already run out of some of the special radio offers. Some of the prices had gone up, but it's still way below what it is now. You also have a special where you're offering the American Dream, excellent animated documentary about the history of the Federal Reserve, very entertainingly done, great for newbies, great tool to wake people up. You get that free with two silver dollars that are at cost, and Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare Come True by Mark Dice. While supplies last, we are running out of these very, very quickly. Ted, tell folks about that offer and then about some of the gold deals you've got for people and how long you're going to be able to offer those specials.
Well, okay, well, first of all, let's talk about that video deal. It's $130 now. You get two silver dollars. Let me tell you, you can't get two silver dollars for $130, but you get this neat little DVD like you're describing. It's like perfect for somebody who is just waking up to what's going on or needs to be woke up. You give them that video, it's so entertaining that they'll be riveted to it, watching it, and then by the time they're done, they're going to be scratching their head, wondering whatever happened. Franks right now are at $350. We give a full year subscription to the International Forecaster when you buy that coin. The British Sovereign is at $438. U.S. Eagles right now are at $1,713.60. Here's a neat one, Alex. It now takes 30 of the new fiat dimes to buy one old constitutional silver dime. And I just can't tell you enough, man, you should have that constitutional silver dime. Walking Liberty halves right now are at $20.71. I mean, just there's a whole plethora. There's a whole array of different things that you can be buying. I never get a chance to buy enough. The market drops. I think, okay, I'm going to put as much as I can, as many of my resources as I got possible to do it. And then it goes racing right back upward. You know, here we are sitting here in July. I thought I would have a lot more time to buy than I did. And gold is hitting a peak it has never seen before. That means that August, September, October, all that's going to build on this. We always have our peak in the marketplace toward the end of the year, not now. Now is the time when we see the bottom of the market, and it's just absolutely opposite. And Alex, I need to tell you, there's so many problems going on in this economy. There's so much trouble going on in our own government, Washington, D.C., with this government shutdown, and the only solution they have is to turn on the printing press and go further into debt. You're talking about QE3, which is already going on. China's saying that we're defaulting on our debt. It's coming from everywhere.
Yeah, well, we've been 100% right, and not because we're brain surgeons or rocket scientists. Now, Ted, you got a lot of different video deals. You've got one where you get five of my films and three silver dollars, but separately, because I think you misquoted, how much is it for the two silver dollars and the Big Brother book and the American Dream film and book free?
Yeah, well, total right now it's $130. I did have to raise it $5, but that's it. I mean, I think
you're confused. It was $75 last week.
Yeah, no, it was. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right. It was $75. Yeah, you're right. It's $80 plus $5. Anyway, $75 plus $5 is $80. You're right. I am confused. I apologize.
No, it's okay, Ted. That happens to the best of us because you have another video deal. And the point is, you can't get two silver dollars for $80 right now. I mean, they're above 40 in spot. And you get a free book that's excellent and the American Dream DVD. I mean, that is an insane deal. So it's two silver dollars. That includes shipping and a free book and a free DVD. That's a wonderful deal just for the silver dollars, Ted.
Well, that's the whole point, Alex. I mean, people are going to need the silver dollars to start with. Then you get this video, you hand it out to your friends, and all of a sudden you're making a difference in this country.
Absolutely. And I think you're talking about the three silver dollar deal and five of my films free. That's $130. But folks, call, find out the exact numbers. In fact, I'll have Ted go get them from the brokers and give me those specials specifically. 800-686-2237. Here's the number to call and take advantage. Tell them it's the radio specials. 800-686-2237. If you missed it, I'll give you the number again when we come back. And we got Wayne Paul joining us. Stay with us. Okay, we're going Wayne Paul, a great freedom fighter in the spirit of 1776, brother of presidential candidate, congressman, and Dr. Ron Paul, here in just a moment. I first met Wayne at a In the Fed rally in Dallas in 2008. We later learned the Army was there spying on us. How dare American citizens go and protest the private Federal Reserve peacefully? We've got to have the Army counterterrorism unit out there watching them. And it's turned out in Tennessee, they've had the same groups do that to Ron Paul himself at a rally. How dare this evil, dangerous family doctor warn us that the private Federal Reserve would implode our economy? How dare him talk about dollar devaluation? How dare him say the bankers would try to implode the economy and seize total power? How dare him be 100% right? How dare him never compromise? How dare him be a real American? How dare his brother? How dare his entire family? How dare those protesters talk about the real problem that's killing our country? Sorry, we're going to Wayne Paul here in a moment. Ted has a whole bunch of specials running, and I had him go actually pull the offers, and I was correct. But I do that all the time, get stuff backwards. You get three silver dollars and three of my best-selling films free with free shipping for $130, okay? So that's $130 with shipping included, Obama deception, fall the Republican endgame for $130, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237. Now, the other deal that's even better than that is Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare Come True. Excellent, thick book, great read, very informative. And the American Dream, animated documentary about the banksters, very entertaining, great to wake up newbies. Both these free, two silver dollars, $80 shipping is included. $80, free shipping, free book, free film. $80. Folks, try to get two silver dollars right now for $80. So again, that's a loss leader for Midas Resources. And now correcting that, it's 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. But I would be not just doing the loss leaders. I'd be checking into those radio specials on gold and silver, because gold and silver aren't really going up with gold at an all-time high of above 1600 today. The dollar, they've signaled they're going to completely kill it. That's why they're moving away from the dollar as the world reserve currency and to commodities like oil, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, titanium, copper. That's why you got copper thieves and metal thieves all over the world robbing trains, you name it, because the world is in an engineered depression. Now, I'm really excited. We got some big breaking TSA news, by the way. TSA charges congressman with violating federal law for exposing security breaches. See, the bureaucracy saying, we're coming after you, pal. Just like that whistleblower on NSA stealing money. They indicted his hind end. I mean, are you starting to get how dangerous this government is? But that's good. Let them start shoving. Congress might actually wake up and behave like patriots once they realize the tyranny. Wayne Paul is a CPA and brother of Representative Ron Paul. Wayne, of course, appears in the Obama deception. He discusses the Social Security scam and the Federal Reserve and how a country is bankrupt. He did that 3 years ago. We interviewed him 3 years ago, put the Obama deception out 2 years ago. And we are under emergency powers, and the Secretary of the Treasury is really in control of the country. And I want to get this guy who's been for close to 50 years on the front lines exposing the private Federal Reserve. The family are all just great people now. Senator Rand Paul, another chip off the old block, is doing a great job in the Senate. And they really are the first family in liberty in this country, and we can only salute them. That's why COINTELPRO attacks them. Wayne, it is so good to have you here with us, my friend.
I'm glad to be here.
Wayne, I want to get into the War Powers Act and the fact that we have been under martial law since 1933, economic dictatorship since 1913, and we're now seeing the fruits of that. And we even saw Obama last week say, I'll just use war powers that were used by Lincoln, after Lincoln was killed in Reconstruction, Ulysses S. Grant, against the Congress if they don't raise the debt ceiling. But before we go there, I tell you, the chickens are coming home to roost. You're in the Obama deception breaking down hyperinflation and what would happen under the banker takeover. So toot your horn, talk about that, and then let's get into who really runs this country.
Well, as you can see, the people you and I know of every day that listen to your radio show and exist on a daily basis have recognized and understand much more today about the Federal Reserve and the loss of the value of dollars than ever in the history of my life. It's fascinating and interesting to see how many people are now aware of things, and all of a sudden people will come up to me and say, you know, your brother may have been right. Isn't that amazing? So, yes, it's a major problem, and people daily lose their homes. People daily are looking for work, yet we have an administration and a Congress that doesn't seem to want to help.
Well, their consolidation is going well. Wayne, let's get into the Federal Reserve, what it really is, and the fact that we've been under administrative receivership for a very long time. Let's cut right to the chase for people and break down the emergency powers and the Secretary of the Treasury and what's really going on.
Well, as you know, the Federal Reserve Act was passed in 1913 around Christmas time. And there were three people on the floor of the House that passed the Federal Reserve Act that allowed the United States government to turn over all their money to the Federal Reserve, and in return, the Federal Reserve says, we'll loan you all the money you need. And that's the way it's been in operation. In 1933, Roosevelt declared the United States bankrupt. They no longer had any more money coming in than was going out, so they were bankrupt, and the Federal Reserve says, well, wait a minute, what else are you going to pledge as collateral on the debt? And guess what we had by 1936?
Social Security.
It's called Social Security. And each person got a number under the disguise of saying, we're going to create a fund for your retirement so that you can supplement that. But the truth of the matter was a mechanism to control the collateral that the Federal Reserve wanted, which is you and I and our ability to earn a living. And that still exists today.
And we are a country ruled by the big six mega banks, who have now brought us to rack and ruin. Did you see Tiny Tim Geithner, not this Sunday, but the Sunday before last, admit that, quote, this is going to be the worst time that we've ever experienced in our lives and isn't going to end for a long time? That's a quote. I mean, I thought we were in the middle of a great boom time thanks to QE1 and QE2.
Well, unfortunately, we know neither of those have worked, and anymore, any addition to the debt is only going to make it worse. And the disguise or the noise coming out that says, since I'm on Social Security, I might not get Social Security this next month, or we won't be able to pay our soldiers, all of that is smoke and mirrors. I can't imagine our government not paying our soldiers and not paying our elderly, and under the threat of our current president saying that that might happen, I think that's a bunch of baloney.
Well, it was always meant to hold us hostage, and now you've got more than half the public either on some type of government assistance or money taken out of their checks for decades being held hostage, or companies surviving on government contracts. They've got us exactly where they want us.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Things are going to get worse before it gets better. We have not seen the bottom of our problem. Our problems are still in front of us. And we as a people, I believe, understand that problem much more today than we ever did. And it's fascinating because I think even our Republican National Party recognize that Ron's right, but they only recognize it in terms of how are we going to keep him out of the platform and out of the nomination. And they're doing it by deceptive means because they cannot attack him on words and phrases because Ron's always told the truth. He's always been right, and people recognize that. So they can't attack him on issues because he's right. So if they can't attack him on issues, what are they going to, how are they going to do it?
Well, they're ignoring him. They're fixing polls. They're ignoring it when he wins big straw polls by huge majorities in places like New Hampshire. And they're also talking like him on the surface. Michelle Bachmann, the IRS enforcer, Al Gore's former chief of staff in Texas, Mr. Liberal Pointy Boots, Rick Perry. I mean, they are really getting a gaggle of artificial counterfeit Ron Pauls ready, who as soon as they get in office, of course, are going to continue to serve their masters. I mean, Rick Perry is a Bilderberg minion. It doesn't get any more obvious than this. We don't see Ron Paul invited to Bilderberg.
No, I think you've hit on two main issues. One is we as a nation have to be very careful as conservatives as to which Tea Party group we're going to listen to. The National Republican Party has taken over the name of the Tea Party and spewing out their own liberal agenda in a conservative way, and they're trying to dilute our conservative vote by throwing in as many people as they can into this Republican primary coming up. And they're holding Perry in the wings, saying that he's going to be the saving grace for the Republican Party. And I'm telling you, he's worse. He's done more harm to the state of Texas than the Bushes have ever done.
Yeah, they're selling him as the deus ex, the guy that's going to save everybody at the last minute. I mean, this is, well, I mean, talk about it. He's doubled in his 10 years as governor of the budget.
Yep.
He's passed all these new taxes on businesses, really a state income tax and the franchise tax.
Right.
Forced inoculations, NAFTA superhighways, Al Gore's footstool. I knew from insiders he was always planning to run and said that over a year ago. I talked to Fox News people and others, you know, that met with him privately, and he had that fake pledge he wouldn't run, and then he broke, and now he's looking at breaking the pledge. He always meant to. It's this whole fake, reluctant act. And you know what? Republicans are going to elect him. They love Al Gore at the end of the day. They love being conned. And that's what, Wayne, they don't want something real like Ron Paul because he doesn't have the fancy hair. They like Twinkle Toes. They like the effeminate Perry. And they're going to get it. They want to be slaves, some of them.
Well, again, I go back to the point that they can't discuss issues with Ron because they know he's right. So rather than discuss issues and to bring them up so that the American people can have a clear-cut choice, they just as soon undercut them by throwing these other people out as conservatives so that the conservatives get confused and think a Perry or a Bachmann would do a better job and be more as conservative, and that's just not the case.
Talk about your brother, Ron Paul. Well, you know, before we get into Ron and his presidential run, that regardless, we win because he's educating people, but he's in the number one, number two, or number three slot, depending on which straw poll or national poll. The media is trying to run the hoax that, oh, he can't win. It's the contrary. He's got 10 times the power he did 3-4 years ago because so much of what he talked about is unfortunately manifested, and he is the thinking person's candidate. But let's look at the stealth candidate, Perry, who is designed to knock Ron Paul out. Let's look at the real enemy here, and he's going to team up with one of the ladies, whether it's it was going to be Palin, it may be Bachmann now. You heard it here first years ago, folks. Watch. We know what we're talking about. It's why people listen. Let's talk about, I mean, I mentioned some of the things, but horrible for Texas. He's always saying Texas is great because of him. He wants us to believe the sun comes up because of him. How has Perry been bad for Texas?
Well, there are three major issues that I look at. One of the major ones is the TTC, or the Trans-Texas Corridor. He has done more to confiscate private property to build toll roads and then to lease these toll roads to foreign companies to run. And they say that that deal is dead. It's just under another name. It's not dead. The second item that bothers me is our education system. Under Perry, we rank 36th in the nation in high school graduation rates. We rank 49th in verbal SAT scores, 47th in literacy, and 46th in the average math scores. We've lost our education edge, and it is under his administration. But the last thing that I think is worse than ever is his stance on illegal immigration.
Oh, yeah, he claims he's fighting it, but tell folks, he was the guy that got sanctuary cities through and in-state tuition for illegals.
And there is a relative solution that could aid Texas in their budget problems and still be compassionate to illegals, but to turn around and do something about it. And all you need to do is look in other countries and other locations as to how they handle immigration. And if it was done in Texas, it would be fantastic for Texas. It would be fantastic for the illegal. And it would be fantastic for the United States. It's a very simple solution. He won't even look at it.
Now, we don't want to do what Mexico does. They put you in a slave camp for a year. But then they say our borders have got to be wide open, but they've got some of the strongest in the world
right.
after North Korea.
Right.
What is your solution that other countries have used?
Well, every person that's in this country illegally, if they had 25 days to register, when they register, they bring in $1,500 of their money, but they come in with a sponsor who pays $1,000. That $2,500 is put into a special education fund to teach the illegal how to become a United States citizen.
But they don't want that. They want to keep them in their little subdivisions and use them as political weapons. Stay there. We'll be right back. Absolutely. I tell you, Wayne Paul is dead on this. Segment the next, then I'm getting into the world news, your phone calls, and a lot more. In fact, if you'd like to go ahead and call on any of the issues we've raised today, the toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231, where you can raise any item or a news point you'd like to bring up or any questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. Wayne, I want to talk about your brother announcing win, lose, or draw, he's leaving Congress, not seeking re-elections. The only way he stays in government is to be the president. But before we go there, with the brother of Ron Paul, himself a great activist in liberty, with Wayne Paul, finish up your point about the program to try to make illegals actually Americans and to share in liberty instead of being taught how to be anti-American collectivist.
Well, it's kind of interesting because that idea I had for quite a while. But in talking with the Americans that have a Mexican descendancy, they were the ones that wanted to promote it. They said we would love to find a way to turn around and be able to bring these people on board, make them citizens. But you pointed out, they don't want somebody that's educated. They don't want somebody that's intelligent. And they don't want somebody that understands the Constitution. But you sure you can make their sponsor liable for that individual so that if he got into trouble, it's the sponsor's responsibility to help out. And you could do this until they learned enough.
And And then that would weed out the criminal element. Absolutely. Instead, the government leaves it lawless, doesn't enforce anything, and it becomes the Wild Wild West, and they use that as a pretext to take more of our freedoms.
Right, and you then end up with productive citizens.
Good point. Now, going back to your brother, presidential candidate Ron Paul, we had him on a few weeks ago. Can't wait till we have him back up in a few weeks. But he's announced he's retiring from the House after long, great duty. He's either going to the White House or he's going home.
Yeah, and I admire him for his time and effort. I can't believe that he has been so strong for so long. But I'm going to tell you, he's paid his dues, and he deserves to sit back and say, who else is going to carry on in his stead? And we need to find people that will run in his district that have similar philosophies and continue his tradition. And I just hope we find somebody that meets those standards.
Well, he's got a good chance of winning the presidency if we believe he can win. He's number one in many polls, number two or three, and the others winning a lot of the key straw polls, places like New Hampshire. But regardless, he wins by injecting real issues. But, talking to Ron Paul off air a few weeks ago, he sounded really happy. And this is a guy who works 16, 18 hours a day. I don't know how he does it. And I can imagine, I dream about not doing this. I can't imagine being, 75 years old? 70, how old is he now?
He's 75.
Wow. I mean, what did he tell you about wanting to retire if he doesn't win the presidency?
He's never talked to me about it. I think it's just been something that's been playing on his mind. I think he wants to spend more time with his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He wants to spend some more time with his wife. He wants to relax a little bit and enjoy everything that he's worked so hard for. You know, we kind of pick on him because he's the middle of five boys. So, but do you know, last week or so, the congressman played baseball. And he hit a home run.
I know. He's incredible. He's a war horse. Folks, I know how hard it is to think hour after hour every day. It's very exhausting. I get tired just looking at Ron Paul. We'll be right.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Folks, we covered the whole Rupert Murdoch scandal that threatens to bring down his whole empire, with no doubt George Soros scurrying around in the mix, two demons fighting each other. But this is the London Guardian. News of the World phone hacking whistleblower found dead. Let me tell you, I told you they got mercs. Death of Sean Hoare, who was first named journalist to allege Andy Coulson knew of hacking, not being treated as suspicious. That's like that woman they found after the kid got killed in L.A., hanging upside down on the balcony with her hands and feet bound, and they said, oh, it's not suspicious. If they ever find me with my, shot in the head five times, I didn't do it, folks. Going back to Wayne Paul, brother of Ron Paul, great patriot in his own right. Wayne, we got to get you back up in the near future for a longer interview. But finishing up, yeah, your brother at 75 does so many interviews, reads the bills, always knows the news I bring up, even if it's brand new. He is a Superman. And I'm not just saying that, folks. I'm 37. People think I'm 50. And for years I worked 18 hours a day. I can't even do it anymore. Sometimes I look at news and get dizzy. I don't know, literally. I'm way past burnout. I'm on my third, fourth wind here. But your brother is just incredible. That's right. He holds the congressional record on the congressional baseball team. Tell folks about that.
Well, this last game that he played in, he hit the ball out of the park. First time in the history that anybody from Congress had ever done that. And the other thing that amazed me about him, several years ago, he was in the hospital. He had two knees replaced at the same time. 2 weeks later, he's walking from his car to his airplane in Houston to go back to Washington, D.C., and he did it all on his own. I can't comprehend that. you know, I have pain from arthritis. I can't comprehend replacing two knees and 2 weeks later doing what he did.
Now, your brother, I've gotten to know him pretty well, not like you, but he is just so focused and meek. But let me tell you, he's a real tough guy at the end of the day. I mean, he is focused. I can see him sometimes late at night live on TV, and you can tell he's exhausted, but he's just powering it out.
Well, I think the amazing thing is his consistency never varying at all. What he said 35 years ago, he says today, and he doesn't need a script to say it. And as long as you're truthful and as long as you're right, you don't need a script or you don't need a monitor like some people do in order to read anything that's going to be publicized. He's straightforward. He's honest. And, you know, our politicians can't handle that.
Well, we know there was chicanery in the last election in some of the primaries, but if there's an overwhelming landslide, they can't stop him. And I'm so glad he is committed all in and is not seeking re-election in the House, all in for this presidential run. We've got to get behind him, Wayne.
600%. Now's the time.
We got 1 minute left, Wayne. Any other little tidbits you'd like to add?
I will try everything in my power to support him in every way, shape, or form that I can do. I admire him for his tenacity. I admire him for his time and effort. He's unequaled as far as I am concerned in terms of anybody sitting up there in Washington, but I happen to be prejudiced.
No, he's unequaled. He is founding father material, and if America doesn't elect him, it's like the reprieve of Nineveh. I mean, if we don't elect Ron Paul, shame on us. And if we don't get 100% behind him to make sure this information gets out at this critical time,
yeah,
like he said with the TSA, if we don't stand up against this, then we deserve it. Wayne Paul, brother of Ron Paul, great American, thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
Alex, it's my pleasure. I'm delighted to do it. Hopefully we can do it again.
Well, we're going to have you on soon during the campaign. God bless.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, I'm glad that you joined us for this third hour of jam-packed news, information, and your phone calls. It is, of course, Monday, July 18th, 2011. We just had Ron Paul's brother, who's been fighting just as long as Ron Paul against the globalist. With Wayne, it's almost 50 years. And Wayne, of course, was talking about his brother, if he just joined us to finish up that story, who had a double knee replacement and 2 weeks after was carrying his own bags from the Houston airport and walking way out in the long-term parking himself. Anybody's ever had a knee replacement? I've talked to folks that have. You're supposed to walk on them after a while, but it's reportedly excruciatingly painful. That's an idea of the quiet strength of Ron Paul. And you heard in the history of the congressional baseball team, the only guy to ever this year to knock a ball out of the park. I mean, just an example of Ron Paul. I respect people who can stay focused on the news, on legislation, do 10 or more interviews a day, not miss votes, always know what he's talking about, do all these interviews. He's just incredible. And when you know about the rest of the congressmen are lazy, visiting hookers, drugs, corruption, golf junkets, and there's Ron Paul, same guy 35 years ago, he is today, been absolutely right about everything, perfect voting record, true constitutionalist, and I just haven't been giving Ron Paul enough love on air. He is just so good, and he's the type of president America needs. At this critical juncture, God is providing him if we'll get behind him, and even if he loses, we win by injecting real issues. You're not going to get it from Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann, the IRS tax collector. I wish Rick Perry was real. I get behind him right now. But he is the former chief of staff in Texas in the, 1992 presidential run before Clinton beat him out of Al Gore. He worked for Al Gore. He is a guy that sold out our 8,000 miles of roads to foreign companies. He is a guy that tried to run a hoax saying he had to take forced inoculations. And I told everybody that he was going to run for president because he went to Bilderberg and Jim Tucker has insiders, two of them. And Jim said they're getting him lined up for president, probably 2012. Boom. He comes out 6 months ago and says, I pledge to not run. Oh, I may break my pledge. We knew from Fox insiders that was all staged. It's one thing if he breaks a pledge. That's bad enough. To know it was always fake, to act like he's this reluctant hero. It's pure script. Oh, but he goes to the evangelicals, the good Christians, and tells them how much he loves Jesus. Might as well just ask Al Gore to come out of retirement and put him on there. And I got all these Republicans sending me emails going, he may have been Al Gore's guy in the past, and he may have been for all this, but you need to leave him alone. He's going to beat Obama. What do you want, Obama? I heard the same thing with Clinton. You know, when he was leaving, what do you want, Al Gore, saying George Bush is bad? No. I'm saying like a Don King boxing match, the Republican and Democrat that the establishment put forward as the people that are going to be the winners, then people say, well, I want to vote for the winner. The people they put forward to you are like in a Don King boxing match. Why don't people watch Don King boxing matches? It took them 30 years to figure out that they were rigged. Now people finally figured it out. I mean, this is not rocket science. If Fox News and CNN and MSNBC have all been caught putting out fake polls on Ron Paul, dubbing old video of Ron Paul being booed when he wins the CPAC event, not telling you when he wins the straw polls in major states like New Hampshire. I mean, it's dirty trick after dirty trick after dirty trick. That tells you he's the guy. And all this fake COINTELPRO that the White House regulations Art Sunstein talked about. He said, we're not trusted. We've got to pose as alternative media. We've got to attack the 9/11 truthers. We've got to attack the people that don't believe in carbon taxes. And we've got to attack true constitutionalists. We'll go pose as, quote, conspiracy theorist and attack them. That's why you see that constant meme, attack Alex Jones, attack Ron Paul. The proof is in the fruit. The proof is in the actions. The proof is in Ron Paul's voting record. Have you seen it? No one's got one that good. Have you looked at it? In the history of the New American for decades analyzing congressional voting records, he's the only person ever with a 100 every time, 100% constitutional voting record, 100% known 20 years ago in Congress as Dr. No, because he votes no on all of this garbage. All right, I'm done. And I said I'd go to your calls. Here's the really big news. You know, in the first hour, we had Tony Gosling, investigative journalist, formerly with the BBC in the research department. He's a radio talk show host. He broke down that this could bring down the prime minister. The prime minister has been connected to a nuclear arms sale to North Korea and Israel that I read about many years ago, but now is back in the news. He's now run out of England and raced down to South Africa, probably to check his Swiss bank accounts. He hired, of course, the head Rupert Murdoch employee who ran the News of the World to work for him. And guess what's happened, ladies and gentlemen? News of the World phone hacking whistleblower found dead. This is just out. The last 30 minutes, death of Sean Hoer, who was first named journalist to allege Andy Coulson knew of hacking, not being treated as suspicious. Kind of like Dr. David Kelly came out and said, we're being lied to about, well, he told his colleagues in emails, there are no W&Ds in Iraq. We've been ordered to fix intelligence around this. I'm not going to do it. Of course, later it came out. The head of MI6 was ordered. There were meetings with Bush. It was fixed. But early on, that was the start of the war. They couldn't have that. He was found dead. And the first witnesses said five men in black uniforms ran away from the body, slit wrist, no blood there, two undigested pills. And they said he died of pills and slit in his wrist. No blood. Folks, if someone has slit their wrist, they bleed out. There's gallons of blood there. No blood. They murdered him, and the Hutton inquest basically found that in England. So, I mean, that's when you know something's suspicious, and this is really weird. Now, it looks like the British government, the bureaucracy, the BBC mafia, is going after Rupert Murdoch. It's not that either side's good. They're all globalists just fighting for power. And the fact that the whistleblower is dead could mean three things. The government's going to use this crisis only so far and doesn't want it to go too high, so they've gotten rid of a witness. Or people connected to Rupert Murdoch helped this guy. Or it's real, you know, he committed suicide or whatever. Sean Hoare, the former News of the World showbiz reporter, who was first named journalist to allege that Andy Coulson was aware of phone hacking by his staff, has been found dead. It'll be hard now to have that court hearing, won't it? The Guardian has learned. Hoare, who was working on The Sun and the News of the World with Coulson before being dismissed for drink and drug problems, is said to have been found dead at his Watford home. So I guess firing him and claiming he was a drunk wasn't enough to discredit him. Hertfordshire police would not confirm his identity, but the force said in a statement at 10:40 a.m. today, police were called to Langley Road, Watford, following the concerns for the welfare of a man who lives at the address on the street. Upon police and ambulance arrival at the property, the body of the man was found. The man was pronounced dead at the scene shortly after. The death is currently being treated as unexplained, but not thought to be suspicious. Okay. This could bring down the prime minister, but it's not suspicious. It's like this little kid gets thrown down the stairs and dies, and then the girlfriend of the rich, you know, one of the top three pharmacological companies, she's found hanging dead from the balcony, arms and legs bound. And it's not suspicious. It's not. I mean, folks, that's what people think. I'm joking about Fahmy Malik, the Arkansas medical examiner, where they would state police would be machine gunned off the road, hundreds of bullets, and they'd say the cop committed suicide. Cops investigating Clinton, or they'd grab a private investigator, cut their arms, legs off, shotgun holes in the head, gasoline on their body in a landfill, suicide. That's even better than this one. I know you won't go look that up. You don't believe me. That's on record in the Arkansas. What about this new one I read earlier? In fact, where are my stacks? I read it in the first hour. I shouldn't be laughing about this. It's so incredibly dangerous. Where the woman is hanging off the front balcony, bound, naked, dead, and the police are saying, oh, this may not be foul play. We're not sure what we're going to do with this. When a little kid falls down the stairs a few days before and is now dead in the hospital. There it is. A millionaire 6-year-old son dies at a mysterious accident at mansion where his father's lover was found hanging naked, bound. He can't make that up. Can't make that up. And, oh, well, you know, he's the main witness in the case. And you've got the police chief of Scotland Yard resigning, the head of the Metropolitan Police resigning. You got the head of News Corps, a division in the UK, arrested over the weekend, and the main witness dies. And you know what? This nothing to see here. Move along, please, everyone. Everything is fine. The government is taking good care of you. He told the newspaper that not only did Coulson, the aide to the prime minister, know the phone hacking, but that he actively encouraged his staff to intercept the phone calls of celebrities in pursuit of exclusives. In a subsequent interview with the BBC, he alleged that he was personally asked by his then-editor Coulson to tap into phones. In an interview with the Prime Minister program, he said Coulson's insistence that he did not know about the practice was a lie. It is simply a lie. Well, you've been handled, haven't you? At the time of Downing Street spokesman, Coulson totally and utterly denied the allegations, though now it turns out the police were reportedly bribed. We're going to come back and go to your calls, and I'll get into all the other economic news, police state news, world news. Also, the Formula One racetrack in Austin that taxpayers are going to have to pay for. The daughter of this guy is worth $4 billion and buys, you know, $150 million houses. Well, why not? All over the world is taxpayer paid for. They get $5 million in tax breaks because the Formula One track has been ruled an environmental sanctuary with all the race car evil carbon. It's like Al Gore's got these giant 15, 20,000 square foot houses and private jets. But he says you need to charge carbon taxes for your tiny apartment. I mean, these people are so sick. We'll be right back. Coming up, CIA veteran Robert Baer predicts September Israeli Iran war. That's from Zero Hedge. Paul Watson has a more detailed report coming out any minute now at prisonplanet.com and infowars.com. We'll get into that more coming up. But right now, let's go to Andrew in France, then Jordan, Nick, Chuck, Michael, and others. Andrew, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi there, Alex.
Hey.
I've been an architect for 9/11 Truth for the past 6 years. I've been living in Europe for the past 8 years. And I've got 3 points I'd like to make. The first is kind of a side note. I've experienced personally Codex Alimentarius. There was an herbal tea that I was buying for 2 years, and all of a sudden I can't get it anymore. And so it's the real deal, you know. They don't mess around.
Oh, no, it's in the European papers. They're banning hundreds and hundreds of over-the-counter herbal remedies, vitamins, minerals, and they put it in the Food Safety Act last year. They're trying to pass it this year. Do the same thing here, and the public's like, they'll never do that. Oh, they'll never pass Obamacare. They'll never have the TSA grab our genitals. They'll never ban gardens at our houses. Yes, they will.
Yeah, you know, it's absolutely true, and they can't even advise on herbal remedies anymore. They can't have it on the package. They can't personally in the stores advise you anymore. That's the first point. Second point is when the Osama bin Laden death farce came out a couple months ago, I was so enraged by the French media's coverage of it that I went on to La Libération, their website, and I'm reading this ridiculous story about the farce. And so I go into the forum, I leave a comment. It was a day-old article. I leave a comment, come on, guys, this is ridiculous. In French, I wrote it in French. This is ridiculous. Go see the truth. Go to Infowars.com. Within 10 minutes, I had someone attacking me. And these comments are, no one attacks people in the forum. You know, it's like somebody reads an article, and then they write their comment, and they let it go. So someone attacked me personally. So I respond. I say, okay, you know, you can attack me all you want, but why don't you attack the ideas? Go to the site. Why don't you let people decide for themselves? Go to the site and check it out. Within another 2 minutes, someone was already, a different person, in theory, was already attacking me. And so it made me think about how InfoWars could maybe needs to formally bring the war to non-Anglo Europe, because obviously in England it's pretty well known, but maybe in France and Spain and Italy.
It's very well known there. I mean, I've had family before in Europe, and they find out that, they'll mention, you like Alex Jones? And then when they, you know, hear that they're, I've talked to other people in business who go over there, and they just mention Alex Jones, suddenly, you know, they've got a driver for the whole day, wants to drive him around for free. There are a lot of people that are awake over there. But at the same time, sir, it came out in the news today that the Pentagon is manipulating social networks worldwide. They have very sophisticated bots that can simulate humans countering information. They do it with ridicule. There is a full spectrum attack on the internet right now against alternative news and information. So I think that's what you probably are seeing, Andrew.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know if it was a bot or not, but it made me think maybe you could do like a forum bombs where you just pick a newspaper for the day, La Repubblica in Italy or Le Monde in France, and you say, okay, this is a ridiculous.
Well, I think that's a great idea, Andrew. But I mean, every day ought to be that. I mean, that's where the fights are going on. And I really appreciate you, Andrew. Thank you so much for the call. Look, the power of people starting a local newsletter. And physical paper being delivered to their door, even if you start with your block, the power of starting your own website, the power of doing your own YouTube videos, the power of you becoming a leader, that is what is unstoppable. Thank you, and I'm sure Infowars.com is a focal point, but it's about you doing what you did, and that's a beautiful thing. Jordan in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, I couldn't tell if I was on or not. Anyway, good to talk to you again. I was going to tell you, on July 4th, I went to the Grassy Knoll. I'd never actually been there, interestingly enough. And I took some pictures of the picket fence that I found to be pretty interesting. People riding on their things like JFK plus 9/11 equals chokehold on the masses and Warren Commission lied. It was very refreshing, basically, to see that people aren't buying it at all anymore. I was wanting to know if you would be interested in me sending those to you or anything like that.
Sure. I mean, just post them up on a Twitter account or something yourself. I wouldn't just like the last guy, send everything to us like we're the headquarters, though that's fine if you'd like to. We get a lot of great information from listeners. But, yeah, I think anybody who goes to Dallas should go to the grassy knoll and look at where they did the headshot from right there on the knoll versus shooting from the book building way down the street through trees that, by the way, lose their leaves in the summer, not in the winter. It's impossible. Anything else you'd like to add, Jordan, about your trip to Dealey Plaza?
No, that's it, man. Thank you much for my call.
Thank you so much. Yeah, send them all along. I'd like to see them.
Dark as shame, darling, dark as shame. Thank you for all the joy and pain. Picture show, second balcony was the place we'd meet.
Obama vows to veto spending cuts. He's got a job to do. Bankrupt America, even deeper into the offshore bank's hands. Gold soars above $1,600 an ounce. Gas prices on the rise, top $4 in 8 states. And they keep blaming the Arabs for that. The main reason is dollar devaluation. It takes more dollars to buy the same oil. But no one dare talk about what QE 1, 2, and now 3 is going to do to the dollar. How it's going to annihilate. You know, Obama says, hey, I don't want to, you got to pass the debt increase, or you won't get your Social Security checks. Well, they're already shrinking the value of them to begin with. It's like, do you pour out a pitcher of water or do you boil it out? And that's basically what inflation's doing. They're boiling it and pouring it out. Also, speaking of water, radioactivity and some water supplies. Finally, every week I see new articles in different TV stations. This is Austin's own KXAN. There's all this uranium and other radioactive isotopes in the water, and the EPA is concerned about you. And nowhere do they remind you that Rick Perry covered this up, but before him, for at least 15 years, that's 25 years, they knew about it, and that most of it's coming from the sodium fluoride added, which also has radioactive isotopes in it from the mines where they get the phosphates. This is the stuff they can't sell the fertilizer companies, so why not just put it in your water? And then when they get caught covering it up, they have articles about jeepers creepers. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be going over that report as well. Oh, yeah, they put hundreds of horrible things in your water because they're good people, very good people. And their answer to you finding out about it is just to raise the levels of what they say is safe radioactively. Just like 20 years ago, they told the troops, radioactive DU, you cannot use it. It is too deadly. And now they just say, magic wand, no safety required. Troops, we're going to serve it out to you, even for small arms. How's that sound? And use it in proving grounds right by major cities and towns. Because after all, glowing in the dark's a good thing. You know, they say the Japanese got their spirits brightened by winning the Women's World Cup in soccer. You know, again, they sell us on, hey, you won a game, but don't worry, you're radioactive now. All right. I want to go back to your calls, but first, I wasn't here Friday, so I didn't get to this. eFoods Direct, the name in high-quality storable foods. They are just wonderful folks, and they've got a deal running every week in July, so we'll announce another winner on Friday, for somebody that gets a year's supply of super high-quality storable foods simply by signing up at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or click on one of the banners at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, and the winner for last Friday is Jeffrey S. from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Congratulations on winning an entire year of super high-quality storable food. As you go into this depression, it's the smart way to do it. They got a lot of specials running also right now, so check it out at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Be prepared before you need it and get your own supply of the best storable foods out there, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Also, PureWaterFreedom.com. I want to tell you about PureWaterFreedom.com. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit PureWaterFreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. And it's hard to get fluoride out, but they got systems that'll do it. And systems that'll get fluoride out will also get uranium out, I should add. One of the hardest things to get out is fluoride and uranium. They're very similar to each other in their particle size. And they've got the systems. You're insane if you don't filter your water. I know I do. They have a wide variety of filters to remove all types of toxins from your water, including shower bath filters, the reverse osmosis systems with filter radioactive isotopes. All their filters are made in the USA. Check out the banners at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or PureWaterFreedom.com. Take control of your water today. And lastly, Innerfood is a revolutionary 100% organic green superfood energy drink with powerful nutrition for better health, energy, mental clarity, and immune system support. It was even voted best superfood by our friend Mike Adams from Natural News. ENERfood.com is the website because it's composed of nearly 50% chlorella, spirulina, kelp, and dulse. It also is high in naturally occurring iodine, which, again, will help safeguard against the harmful effects of radiation. Give them a call today at 866-762-9238 or visit them on the web at innerfood.com. And I believe in all of the sponsors that you hear me endorse, ladies and gentlemen. I believe they're super high quality, and you should check them out. Okay, let's do this. Let's go back to your calls before I rampage through some more news. Nick in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Can I cut in with the AJs, and we can cut out the kudos? I got a lot of topics sitting through the month with you, from Dewhurst to Inside Job. But I first wanted to ask you, since I heard about chemical trails, you might do a show on it. Have you ever heard of that enhancing radar? That they use chemtrails to enhance radar?
Yes. In fact, I've actually talked to the director of HAARP before, and I've talked to General Benton K. Parton, head of Air Force Weapons Development. And the word is that it's a over-the-horizon radar system is one of the uses of it.
I hear they can spot out planes easier also with metals like aluminum. So that's hard information to get. So we kind of with Inside Job. I got some information from Donald Rumsfeld, or actually it goes back a week before they executed Timothy McVeigh. I got a couple some crib notes. But the press was just all over Rumsfeld, and they're going, why so hurry? And Rumsfeld finally gave in. He said he's not going to see it. And that's just a week before they executed McVeigh. And another incriminating thing about George W. Bush, ex-president, is he came out before he departed the White House, and he said, one more target, and they would have won. I mean, they would have won. I mean,
yeah. The word is people think that that the flight that went down in Pennsylvania, Flight 93, was going for 7, and that's why they had to blow it up later because it was already rigged. But the word is that it was really going for the Capitol. It was all going in that same general direction, and if they would have blown up the Capitol with an aircraft, that would have been a real excuse to bring in tyranny. And the Associated Press reported, for no reason, Jeb Bush declared martial law in Florida on September 9th. In fact, folks won't believe that. Just search Governor Jeb Bush declared martial law September 9th, and we'll show folks WorldNet Daily and Associated Press. You can't make this stuff up. Good points, Nick. I appreciate your call. We'll put that on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. For radio listeners, just search Governor Jeb Bush or Florida Governor Jeb Bush declared martial law September 9th of 2001. You heard me right. 2 days before 9/11. And George W. Bush, his brother, who had 44,000 U.S. troops, 18,000 British troops surrounding Afghanistan, two carriers that had just arrived, signed the launch order to attack Afghanistan the day before 9/11. Oh, yes. Let's go ahead and talk to Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how you doing? You always sound re-energized when you talk to one of the Pauls.
Absolutely. Ron Paul, I mean, I work in the trenches. I work in news. I know how exhausting it is to really think and to really just not go with a script, but to really analyze. It is exhausting. I mean, it's just problem solving every minute of the day. And even when I want to wind down, I can't quit thinking about it. And Ron Paul works 16 to 18 hours a day. He gets up at 4 a.m. He lifts weights and bikes or jogs on a treadmill for an hour. He eats a Spartan breakfast. And then he reads the news for 2 hours and legislation and then works all day. And I know no one as informed as him. I know no one. I mean, I feel fried at 37 and I don't know how he does it. So that's why you saw the profuse worshiping. But I just admire that type of dedication.
Absolutely. I got a picture with him after the South Carolina debate at the Tea Party. He was the only one that come and spoke to us at the Marriott Hotel. And I put my arm around him to get a picture with him, expecting to feel an old man there. And I tell you what, I had my arm around his shoulder. I could feel some muscle there. The guy is he's up to the task. What I wanted to ask you about, though, was the 10th anniversary coming up. I'm kind of hoping to hear maybe that you've got some little documentary that you might be letting out right before the thing, maybe a mini documentary or something.
Well, here's the problem. I worked up here until 8 o'clock last night on Sunday, 8 o'clock, and got home and put the children to bed and talked, read them a few books, and then worked till 11. So, and I worked all morning yesterday, you know, with my children around me, so I got to at least be in their presence. But here's the deal. I'm making too many mini documentaries. I'm making too many iPhone 4 uploads. I'm doing too many other media interviews. I've got to launch this TV show. I've got to get furniture bought for some of the rooms. I've got to get desk in for new employees. I'm not complaining. It's just that I haven't made a film I made. Burmis, I helped him on it. Invisible Empire is excellent. Police State 4, Rob Dew put together with Jason Douglas. But I haven't made a film since Fall of the Republic almost 2 years ago. So I got to get the TV show launched, and then I can make films. But I just, believe me, there's 100 films I want to make. I've started and stopped 5 films the last 2 years. Just because it's such a process to make a film, I've got to have it exactly right. That's why you watch it Fall of the Republic at Endgame. I mean, Endgame says Perry's going to run for president in 2012. How do I do it? Real research, real time. And so, yes, I want to do more, believe me. But that's why there's other great filmmakers that we promote, because there's other people stepping up. This is a group effort, and I love you, and I appreciate your call. Who's up next here? John, who's up next? Michael in New York, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, how are you? It's an absolute honor to speak with you. You gave me the red pill about 3 years ago, and I've been awake and just awakening others ever since. Just two quick things for you, Alex. I'm an Orthodox Christian priest serving a small Egyptian community up in New York. I was on Capitol Hill on June 15th meeting with some senators, representatives, and coming out of that meeting, came out of the building, out of the HAARP building, and I ran into LaRouche's group out there, who I saw here locally in New York earlier today. They were talking about H.R. 1489, and I wanted to get your take on H.R. 1489, and also...
That's the one to bring back the Glass-Steagall, right?
Right. Yeah. There's a few representatives from around the nation that have signed on. I haven't seen Representative Paul's name on here. I know you'll have him back on in a few weeks, so maybe you could ask him about that when you see him.
Well, I got to tell you, I've scanned over the legislation. I haven't read the whole thing because it's pretty lengthy. I think getting Glass-Steagall back is good. The problem is Paul won't vote for something if it's not constitutional, and it may have some stuff in it. I mean, that's a smell test right there. If Ron Paul... he's really a poison detector. If he's not endorsing it, it means he's got problems with it. Listen, I don't support a lot of the LaRouche solutions. Their analysis is spot on, and I bring them on to be thought provoking because, you know, everybody we have on, we don't totally agree with. And I think, you know, LaRouche means well. Tarpley, and I don't like to air dirty laundry or open things up, but he was their chief European head for decades. And Tarpley's super smart, and, you know, he's got mixed met. He says there's two camps in LaRouche. And, you know, overall, they're bringing out the eugenics. They're bringing out that master plan. And so I have them on some.
Could I just ask you one other quick question?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I've really struggled with the idea of getting more involved. As I mentioned, I'm a priest up here serving a community of about 2,500 or so people. And, I struggle because I see what's going on around me. I have twin babies, and I don't want them growing up in this kind of a world where these wicked people are running the show. Do you have any suggestions? You know, how could I strike that balance, especially with, you know, the 501(c)(3) status that I have to, you know, tiptoe around. You know, are there any suggestions that you might have for me that how I could get more involved with my current limitations?
Well, I think a lot of it is, as long as you're not acting like you're talking about something evil, people will just think you're talking about news and information. And so I would just be confident in everything you discuss and just know you're doing the right thing and realize that you don't really have any limitations. The only limitation out there is getting past your fear. And, you know, if you get in trouble for telling the truth, well, then that's part of your mission in life. I mean, you know that the way to go is not an easy road. And, you know, the way that is wide leads to destruction. That doesn't mean I'm on some high horse. In fact, it's part of my wickedness growing up that actually, in the end, it worked for greater good because, you know, I can recognize evil because, you know, I'm certainly not a fainting violet, you could say. I've seen a few things. I had quite an extreme upbringing. The things I happen to see in Dallas, it's the things I ran into, but I don't want to digress. I appreciate your call, and I'm honored that you would ask my opinion on things. Now, let me... it's here in my stack, KTLA. Drudge had it up yesterday. I shot a video for it on Aaron Dyke's YouTube channel. In fact, I want to get that posted up at Infowars.com or PrisonPanda.com. Where, and I said this to do, and I wish I would have shot a iPhone video on the fly when I was in L.A. this weekend. I was watching the fear-mongering Friday night that it was the end of the world when they shut down the 405. And I said, they're going to start doing this all the time. This is part of Agenda 21, the way they were hyping it. And, of course, it turned out there wasn't a disaster. There weren't big traffic jams. And now that TV station and others are saying, we just need to order people when they can leave their house, when they can drive. We need to shut down more roads and not let people have extracurricular driving. Well, that's what the British government's calling for. They show kids cartoons where in the future you'll be given a government allotment of what you can eat and do. That's smart growth. And then I saw another article where in Germany they're saying by 2020, no single-parent homes. You'll have to live in government dormitories. And I see other reports where, you know, what type of toilet, what type of light bulb, can't pack your kids' lunches, can't have a garden in your front yard. It's prison. Living in Europe, in the United States, under the global government model, is living as a prisoner. They're cutting off the resources to get you to a third world level so they can starve you to death and say, oh, you want welfare because you can't get a job? You got to be sterilized. Now, it's a death sentence for the third world, the carbon taxes that are going in. Then meanwhile, in their sick joke, they get $5 million in tax incentives because they say the F1 taxpayer paid for racetrack to be built outside Austin, owned by this big globalist, is good for the earth. So when Al Gore gets a 20,000 square foot mansion, it's for the earth. It's green. When you have a tiny 600 square foot, 700 square foot apartment, you get taxes on you. It is such a sickening, disgusting joke. When we, for years, expose that every city, 70%+ of the population drinks fluoridated water, that between 150 and 300+ chemicals are added, including radioactive isotopes. Well, they're now claiming the radiation is in the aquifers, not in the fluoride, because we forced this out in the open. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, it's final segment. More extremely informative guests tomorrow and throughout the week. I want to say great job to the crew. I want to jam in as many calls as we can right now. John, Kathy, Cindy, Scanner, and others. John in Texas, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Alex. Two things I'll throw in real quick. KUT tonight at the Cactus Cafe are having like a little discussion forum session about this past session of the Texas legislature, and members of the public are invited to attend, so I'm going to be there and get my 10 cents worth, and any other listeners want to turn up.
Are you the Scotsman that came down to the Capitol when we stormed it?
That's me, hi. And this second thing, real quick, it's funny, the news of the world being this story is at the moment. I was living in London back in the 80s. In 86, I was working for a catering temp agency, and I used to go to this place called the HAC, which was the Honourable Artillery Company. It was the headquarters of the oldest regiment in the British Army. It was founded in King Henry VIII's time. And they used to hire out the hall for functions. And there was a big sex scandal broke this about 1986. And I think it involved someone in the government. I can't swear to that. But I remember the madam's name was Cynthia Payne. And she had hired this place at the HAC for a dinner this night, and there was a couple of reporters from the News of the World sniffing around, but they never made it past security to get inside. Now, strangely enough, a couple of nights later, the News of the World themselves had the place hired for a staff party, and there was all sorts of shenanigans going on there. There was actually a fight broke out, and there was a couple of people, behind this grand piano in the corner of the room getting pretty friendly with each other. Well, the story in the News of the World that Sunday was all about these shenanigans, but they attributed it to the function previously of Cynthia Payne. So I just remember
So that's how incredible these people are. Well, what do you think about the reporter that first broke the news being found dead today, and the police out of the gates are saying no big deal?
I'll tell you what, mate. Nothing surprises me anymore, Alex. Absolutely nothing.
Well, John, where is that event again tonight?
It's at the Cactus Cafe on the UT campus. It starts at 6 o'clock.
All right, buddy. Good to hear from you. Wish I could be there. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have miles to go before I sleep. Kathy in New Orleans, welcome.
Hi, how are you? I'm very sorry. I'm very hoarse. I've been sick for the last few days.
That's okay.
But I wanted to... Okay. I am Agent 76, along with Gary King on Patriot Radio in New Orleans for 3 years now. And I wanted to tell you about something that we've been doing this year. It's been really good. We have our weekly chemtrail report by our actual weather girl. And it's been really good. We track the chemtrails from Baton Rouge to Mississippi to New Orleans. And we have a girl that comes in and does a weekly chemtrail report.
Well, that's good, because the government's now being forced to admit they've been modifying the atmosphere. And lo and behold, it's exactly what chemtrail researchers said 15 years ago. Barium salts, aluminum dioxide, and other little goodies. And haven't I met you guys before?
Yeah, we came to Austin and we met you when we wanted to start our show. And you gave us some really good tips, and we've been doing it ever since.
So well, you've done well. Great. You've done well, Kathy. I got to jump with one more tail gunner. Cindy in North Carolina, you got about 45 seconds. Go ahead.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
I just want to say you are my John the Baptist. We need you out there. There's a lot of people like me. I'm a grandma that can't do much anything. I'm young, though. Can't do much of anything, but get on the website, get on the information, and get what we can get out that comes from you. And we are so glad that you are out there. I am glad you are doing all you can. I want you to focus and keep us going out here, because you're the reason that we're getting angry and we're waking up and we're doing whatever we can.
Well, you're awesome, Cindy. I'm out of time. They're talking about Rupert Murdoch stepping down.